Now, it's emerged that the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, will seek Cabinet approval tomorrow for the establishment of a domestic violence register. Jenny's Law will allow those convicted of domestic violence against a partner or former partner to be publicly named on a register of judgments. The law has been named in honour of Jennifer Poole, who was murdered by her ex-partner, Gavin Murphy, 4 years ago. He attacked and stabbed her to death at her home in Finglas in April 2021 and was sentenced to life in prison the following year. To get a reaction to this and their response, we are joined on the line by Ireland South MEP for Sinn Féin, Kathleen Funchen. Kathleen, thank you for joining us. We'll be talking to you about the Mercosur deal and your views on this shortly, which we originally asked you to come on the show to talk about. But thank you for coming on and starting off on this topic, because as many would be aware, you yourself are a campaigner, an advocate on the issue of domestic violence and also a survivor. Kathleen, what is your response to the announcement, the plans for Jenny's Law?
Yeah, first of all, thanks very much, Tressa, for having me on. So I think this would be, really positive. It would be great if this was actually enacted. I think particularly for Jenny's family, I mean, there's so many people who, have advocated after a family or a loved one had the ultimate tragic outcome of their life being taken. And I think it would be very fitting to have this named after Jenny. But I really do think that this could be a really, really good step in tackling the issue of domestic violence. You know, we do know that often what happens is when someone manages to get out of a relationship or leaves an abusive relationship, sometimes there's court proceedings involved in that and sometimes there isn't. So, but we often know, and even anecdotally, that people would say, it turned out that this person had a history of domestic violence or had a history of abusive behaviour. And I think that it would be great really to see that information would be available. I think it would be very, very helpful to people. And I think when we talk about this topic, I often say, initially we always all go to what supports are needed for somebody getting out of a situation, and you need those immediate supports, like the kind of supports that ADAPT there in Kerry offer, a fantastic facility that I got to visit recently. And that's always in the forefront. You need to get somebody out, you need to get them physically into a safe space, you need to ensure then that they have access to various payments, and you're thinking of all of the kind of logistics of getting out. But when we look at the actual issue and we look at the increase constantly, and every time we see any reports or data on this topic, we know that the numbers are constantly growing. And part of me always thinks I like to see that people feel now that they can come forward, that they can speak about this, that they can be open, and that's to be welcomed. But we obviously need to see supports set in place when they do that. But the good thing about Jenny's Law, if this is passed, and I really hope it is, and I hope that there's no sort of delays and that will be done fairly speedily, and we'd see it actually pass as legislation this side of Christmas. This could help in terms of that prevention piece as well, and the awareness and people knowing and understanding. And look, it's a long and difficult process for anyone in that situation, but I do think that this could be very helpful. And I imagine as well for Gardaí working in this sector, it would be helpful and beneficial to them as well, that they could potentially advise people or let them know, because I imagine that it's extremely frustrating for them at times that they might know about a particular situation, and obviously then they're precluded from saying it. And I know our own TD in Kerry, Pat Daly, as well, would have worked on similar cases when he was our justice spokesperson, and does a lot of work as well in Kerry in relation to this. As I said, ADAPT do phenomenal work there. So I think this is really good, and it's always lovely as well to be able to be in a situation where you're seeing government take a proactive measure on this topic, and I really hope that there won't be any delays and that we'll see this. I actually think this could have this could potentially save lives, kind of down the road, if people can get access to this kind of information. And so often we know that, say, you know, that they heard all of this stuff about a particular person after they had exited the relationship. And not always, but for a lot of people, they would feel, you know, that they would maybe not have gotten into that relationship in the first place, or it certainly would have been something very, very helpful for them to know, particularly at those times where you feel very isolated and alone, and you kind of are questioning yourself and wondering, is it me? Is it something I'm doing? I think to have that information, I think it is game changing. It really, really is. And I welcome it.
And Kathleen, may I ask you, Jenny's Law will allow those convicted of domestic violence, and I don't want to dwell on it because it's something deeply personal to you and that you have been very strong on and obviously have helped and inspired other people in similar situations. Your former partner was convicted of coercive control. Do you think the domestic violence register should include coercive control, or do you think maybe just see how it all works out in terms of these plans to bring in the domestic violence register?
I think it should include coercive control, definitely. And I know people will probably say, well, you know, that's, I'm saying that maybe from a personal viewpoint, but before ever I was in that situation, I would have done a huge amount of work, as people probably at this stage would know, particularly with our own local refuge, Amber in Kilkenny. And often situations that end up being physical or end up in a sexual assault, they start off with coercive control. And I think that we know that from statistics and from stories, you know, it can start off, it usually starts off very subtle. It's always kind of in a way that you doubt yourself or question yourself, is this really happening? You know, am I overreacting here? And you kind of think, oh, I let that go. And before you know it, you're letting a lot of things go. And I think that it's important that it does include coercive control, because we see that is a form of abuse in terms of, you know, if somebody is controlling another person and controlling their access to finances, whether they're isolating them from friends or family, like, that is a form of abuse. And I think it's important that if someone has a conviction of that people are, you know, that other newer, potential new partners can be made aware of that, definitely.
And Kathleen, and I know we will get to Mercosur, but before we take a break, if I could ask you, for anyone going through the situation that you had to endure, who's listening to us this morning, what would you say to someone in this situation?
I would say to somebody to reach out to the services. And by the services, I mean your local refuge, because a lot of people think that if you get in contact with, for example, ADAPT there in Kerry, that you would have to be physically needing to go in there. You don't. There's a huge amount of support. They can point you in the direction of counselling. You know, they do court accompaniment, which is maybe having somebody to be supportive of you or helping you with the paperwork that's involved with court. And you can access that counsel and you can talk to those services and you can talk to them 100 times if you need to. I also feel that sometimes people feel that once they say it out loud and they say it to someone, that then they're expected to straight away leave that relationship. And for a lot of people, they're not ready to do that. And for a lot of people, they're not in a position to do that because everyone's situation is different. Some people might have financial barriers. Some people, you know, they have children, you know, and particularly in rural communities, it's very difficult. But you can actually get that support and advice and help. And it's non-judgmental. And they're not, if you ring them back 3, 4, 5 times, they're not going to say, hang on a second, why are you still in that relationship? They're going to be there for you. And I think that's a really important message to get out there, that it's non-judgmental and it's a listening service, and that you, yes, like, you do feel like you're sharing the burden, and it's a first step. And I think it's important because sometimes it's overwhelming to think of all the steps you need to take, but just taking that first step can be that can be the key thing in the whole process, to be honest.
Well, Kathleen, stay with us. We'll talk more about your views on the Mercosur deal, the EU deal with the South American nations shortly. And when we come back as well, just to give people time to take to get their pen and paper ready, we will give phone numbers for Kerry, ADAPT, Kerry Women's Refuge and Women's AIDS 24-hour free phone helpline. The whole Mercosur deal. Now, many countries in the EU believe the Mercosur deal with the biggest countries in South America will be good for trade, will be good for business, will be good for Ireland and other members of the EU, and lessen the EU's dependency on the US market. And isn't it better to be able to rely on a legally binding contract that's written down, that you have assurances and guarantees, than the situation we are in the moment at the moment with the US, where Donald Trump could easily come out tomorrow and land 50-100% tariffs on us?
Well, first of all, I would say any legally binding contract is only a positive for you if it's a good deal for you and for your country. And we know from speaking and engaging with farmers that this is not a good deal, and they're very, very worried. And I suppose just to even break it down to be really simple, like in as simple, I suppose, as you can in the time that we have certain standards, really good standards in relation to our food quality in Ireland that I actually think at times we take for granted. And if you look at the standards, I suppose, of the beef that will be coming in, it's very different standards in terms of chemical use. And, you know, there is a fear there by Irish farmers that the market is going to be flooded with cheap beef. This could happen. We're not the only country that is opposed to it and that has very, large concerns in relation to it. We know, for example, France are very unhappy. There is the possibility if four countries come together in the EU that this deal could be blocked and that we could look to get a much better deal. Nobody's talking about not dealing and not having trade and not having negotiations, but it has to be a good deal for us. And there's also very serious environmental concerns as well in relation to the deal. So I think that the Irish government, I mean, it is in their programme for government as well, that they have in their programme for government that they're opposed to Mercosur in its current form. I think we need to be allying up with the other countries. I believe Poland as well is not overly happy. That could be three countries, and I think that we have a responsibility to do that. And I think we can't constantly, the more and more I'm here as an MEP, the more I see at times the Irish government can be very, well, we just have to kind of go along with that now and we just have to agree. I don't think that should be the approach we should be taking. Okay. There's concerns there, rightly so. And I know when I speak to farmers, they're saying that to me. I know Pat Daly as well would be in talks with farmers, and they're concerned, and rightly so. And I think that there's an opportunity and there's an onus on our government to ensure they're getting the best deal.
And we'll leave it there. And I suppose if we had more time, some consumers might say, well, if there was cheaper beef coming in, for example, maybe that would lead to a drop in prices in the market overall, which would be welcome given the cost of living situation we are in. But unfortunately, we don't have time to tease it out further. But thank you so much for joining us this morning, Ireland South MEP Kathleen Funchen.